Back in the early 90s, the Centers for Disease Control was funding plenty of research into gun safety. The studies found that people in homes with guns had a higher likelihood of violent death in the home than people in homes without guns. The NRA did not like that research, and they lobbied supportive members of Congress who turned around and banned the CDC from funding research that might, quote, advocate or promote gun control. And that story is the subject of the final installment in our series this week, Political Science, Where Evidence and Ideology Collide. And our guest is Dr. Fred Rivara. He's a professor of pediatrics and epidemiology at the University of Washington at Seattle's Children's Hospital. Rivara is the guy, along with Dr. Arthur Kellerman, who found the conclusion that today has become almost a cliche in the debate. If you have a gun in the home, you're actually less safe on average than if you don't. And that means Dr. Rivara saw firsthand the chilling effects that came from that congressional crackdown on gun research and how it still intimidates scientists today.
We did a series of studies back in the late 80s and early 90s. What we did is we looked at homes where there was a homicide that occurred and then also went to homes in the neighborhood around the block where there was no homicide. We sent out experienced interviewers and asked them a series of questions, including whether or not there was a gun in the home. And we found out that having the gun in the home was associated with a significant increase, about a threefold increase in the risk of homicide occurring in the home from any means. You know, the most common reason that people have a gun is because they have it for home protection. They feel like it is important to protect themselves and their family from harm. Unfortunately, the data indicate that having a gun in the home is associated with both an increased risk of homicide, but even more importantly, an increased risk of suicide. We know that, for example, if there's a gun in the home, that the risk of suicide among adolescents and young adults is increased tenfold.
Now, can you walk me through the experience a little bit? Back in 1993, when Dr. Kellerman and you were on that team, released this article, series of articles, largely in the New England Journal of Medicine, the National Rifle Association reacted. Can you walk me through the experience, what happened with the NRA and what happened with your research?
Well, I think it's important for you to, again, emphasize that this work was all published in the New England Journal of Medicine, which is then and still is one of the most respected journals in the world. So it really underwent peer review. It was felt to be very solid and worthwhile research. The CDC stood by our research. They had funded the research, and they stood by it. Unfortunately, it raised the attention of the National Rifle Association, who then worked with pro-gun members of Congress to essentially stop funding of firearm research. What happened was the 10 senators in Congress at that time approached Senator Arlen Specter, who was the chair of the Health and Human Services Subcommittee, and he approached the director of the Centers for Disease Control and discussed the idea that this research was biased and that they ended up cutting the CDC budget by the exact amount of money that was used to fund the gun research. They had first threatened to cut all of the funding for injury research at the CDC. They didn't do that, but they ended up cutting it by the exact amount that was spent on the gun research. More importantly, however, was that they put in a clause for the appropriations of the CDC that essentially blocked all gun research for the next two decades.
As you've said, Dr. Rivara, there was no congressional ban on this type of research. But Dr. Kellerman wrote in 2012, he said, no federal employee was willing to risk his or her career or the agency's funding to find out what the boundaries of these rules were. Extramural support for firearm injury prevention research quickly dried up. What was your experience of that?
It has been true, and as a result of that, many, many people stopped doing gun research. The number of publications on firearm violence decreased dramatically. Personally, it was really a frightening time. I can remember back in those days, 20 years ago, when we were really frightened about what was going to happen to our injury research program, what was going to happen to us personally, because it did feel as a personal attack. What's more is that the NRA in 1991, when some of our first research came out, wrote the National Institute of Health to get a Office of Scientific Integrity review of our research. Now, that's a big deal. There's only two or three that of these that are done each year, and basically it's questioning our credentials as a scientist, saying that we had lied or falsified our research. Fortunately, the NIH did not find any basis for that, and the CDC backed us up. But it was really chilling in terms of our ability to conduct research on this very important problem.
Can we talk a little bit about your personal experience, maybe your emotional reaction as somebody who was devoting a good portion of their professional life to this type of research? It was peer-reviewed. It was published in probably one of the most prestigious medical journals in the world. And yet politics, political groups got a hold of it and said, nope, not true, and they vilified you. How did it feel to have your science digested and spat out by the political world?
Well, I think it was in one way frightening in that people would criticize you so vehemently about your work. On the other hand, it was also good because it told us that we were doing important work.
Dr. Fred Rivara, professor of pediatrics and epidemiology at the University of Washington at Seattle's Children's Hospital. He's been involved with injury research for 30 years. You can hear our entire series, Political Science, Where Evidence and Ideology Collide, at thetakeaway.org.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.